Well, hey, good morning, True North Church. So good to be with you this morning. You know, it's crazy. The world is changing, man. And I don't think it's necessarily all for the bad. I mean, honestly, like before the last couple of weeks, when would it have been socially acceptable to sit around in your pajamas all day, every day? I mean, come on, be honest now. How many of you are still wearing the same sweatpants as you were wearing on Monday? And it's totally okay. Like, what a great world we're living in. What a great time we're living in. You gotta stay positive, right? Look at the good things. But hey, you know that song that we just sang, Waymaker? I've been listening to that a lot over the last couple of weeks, and it's really brought me, it's brought me a lot of hope, and it's brought me a lot of encouragement. And I love the lyrics and the chorus of that song. It says, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. I love that line. Light in the darkness. But you know, even as an adult, the dark sometimes still creeps me out a little bit. And I don't think I'm the only one. Like, for some reason, there's just something about the dark that still gives you the heebie-jeebies, even as an adult. And what's weird to me is that, like, I can be sleeping all night long, you know? It can be totally dark. And I can get up in the middle of the night and go to get a glass of water from my kitchen. And as I'm walking through the den to get to the kitchen, there's this little thing in the back of my mind that just kind of reminds me, like, you're in the dark. What if there's somebody in the house, right? And so I always walk to get my glass of water, like, ready to do my best Ninja Turtle on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I just did a Ninja Turtle reference in the middle of my sermon. But what is it for you, you know, when it comes to the darkness? Does it freak you out a little bit? Does it scare you a little bit? My guess is, again, I'm not the only one. And my question is, because I'm a why guy, why? Why does the darkness freak us out so much? Like, I get it when you're a kid, but even as adults, what is it about the dark that we don't like? And I really think it comes down to one thing. And this is gonna seem kind of obvious at first, but stay with me. It's because we can't see. Well, yeah, of course, Justin, the reason that we don't like it when it's dark is because we can't see. But I think it goes beyond that. We don't like that we can't see because we don't like when there are things that could pop up, things that could come out of nowhere, and it makes us feel vulnerable, doesn't it? Like, that's what the darkness does to us. The darkness makes us feel vulnerable. It exposes us. It makes us feel like there could be something lurking in the shadows. But you know what changes everything when it comes to the darkness in our lives? And I'm talking about the physical darkness now. What changes everything in our lives when it's dark is two things. Number one, when somebody is walking with us, right? When somebody is with you, it doesn't change the environment. It can be exactly this. In my house, whether it's light or it's dark, the environment is the same. But in the darkness, when I'm alone, I feel vulnerable. When I'm with somebody else, it changes everything. And number two, when there is even just a little bit of light, everything feels so much better, doesn't it? Like, if you're walking in the dark and you're walking like a dark path in the middle of the night and you've got a flashlight, it changes everything. A few years ago, I went on this trip. It was a mission trip to Kenya. It was an amazing trip. And in the last couple of days before we were about ready to fly back to the States, we went to this National Wildlife Preserve in Kenya and essentially went on this safari. And they had all these animals there. I mean, lions and elephants and rhinos and baboons and just all these cool animals. And they were all just kind of roaming wild and roaming free. And after we did the safari that night, we stayed in this basically like a hotel, but it was like an outdoor hotel. And so that night, I decided I was going to go for a run. I knew it was going to be a couple of days before we were going to be getting back to the States, and I was going to be able to exercise again. I was running a lot at that time. And so I decided I'm going to strap on my shoes. I'm going to go for a little run inside this compound. Now, this compound was fenced in, but the fence was probably only about 8 or 10 feet high. And of course, the time I chose to run was about 10 o'clock at night when all everything was kind of winding down. Everybody else was kind of sitting around playing cards and hanging out. And this inside this compound was about a quarter mile stretch where I could run back and forth. But the thing was, is that the further I got away from home base, so to speak, the darker it got. And so as I would make my way out towards the main gate, it would get darker and darker and darker. And I could just feel the anxiety and the worry kind of begin to creep up inside of me. I started thinking, like, what if there's like a lion that scaled the fence and came in here, or some baboons, right? Because they could easily climb over the fence. Like, what if there's some kind of snake on the road and I can't see it because it's pitch black, right? And as I would get further and further out, I would get more and more anxious. And then I would turn around and I would come back. But as I got closer and closer to home base, and the light became brighter and brighter, and I heard the people talking, what would happen? I would slowly become less and less anxious, less and less worried. Why? Because the closer I got to the light and the closer I got to being around other people, the less worried I was about the darkness. But you know, as scary as physical darkness can be, spiritual darkness, I think, is so much worse, right? Spiritual darkness, those moments where you're going through a dark season in your life and you're scared and you're worried because you can't see, because you don't know what is in front of you. Like, when you're going through those moments of depression in your life and you don't know when it's going to end, when you lose a job and you don't know if you're gonna find another one, you don't know how long you're gonna be laid off, right? When you're going through a health crisis, when you're going through a month-long quarantine in the middle of a pandemic, and you don't know when it's going to end. It's scary, right? But at the same time, here's what I've been learning, and here's what God has been teaching me, is that in the same way that those two things that we just talked about that change everything in physical darkness, they change everything in spiritual darkness as well. When you have somebody to walk with you through your spiritual darkness, it changes everything. And when there is a little bit of light, when there is a little bit of hope, it changes everything. And this is what I want to talk about this morning as we continue our series, Drop the Mic. I want to talk about the fact that we have been promised by our God through Jesus Christ to have hope in the dark. He has promised us hope in the dark. He has not promised us to always end the darkness, but he has absolutely promised us, number one, to be with us in the dark and to provide light. See, one of the things that I love about God, that I love about Jesus, is that he says he is light. That he doesn't just provide light, but that he actually is the light. I love what it says in John chapter 8 and verse 12. This is what Jesus says about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. It doesn't say will sometimes walk in darkness, will most of the time not walk in darkness. It says will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is light. And so today, again, as we continue this series, Drop the Mic, I want to talk about what that really means. Because I think maybe there might be some confusion about that. I think maybe this message could provide some hope for some people who maybe are discouraged right now. Because I got to be honest with you guys, this is where this message is coming out of this week. I had a moment this week, a day, really an entire day, where I just felt like I was in a dark place. And I had no real reason to be honest. Like, I'm healthy, my family's healthy, I still have a job, I have a home that I can live in, and a roof over my head and food on my table every night. And yet there was something that was just causing me to feel down. And maybe that's been you this week, and maybe you don't have an answer for it. And I want to encourage you. That's what this message is about today, to encourage you, to maybe give you some hope in the dark. And so we're gonna look at a passage of scripture today found in the book of Mark. It's an account where we find Jesus. He's traveling from the north of Israel, south to the city of Jericho, and eventually to the city of Jerusalem. And he's just gone through this major kind of metropolis of Jericho. It was a really influential city in Israel at that time. It's about 15 miles east of Jerusalem, and it's just before the Passover festival. And this Passover festival, if you understand Jewish history, is an important, incredibly important moment in their history, because it signifies the moment when God passed over the homes of the Israelites when he sent the death plague to Egypt, when he was trying to free the Israelites from Egyptian captivity. And so Moses, right, Moses helps the people and challenges the people to paint blood over their doorpost, right? And as they do that, when this death plague came, it passed over all of those homes that had this blood, the blood of the lamb, spread over the doorpost. And as that happened, and as they were freed, what they did then moving forward was they began to celebrate that moment for the rest of time, and they still celebrate it today. And so it was this huge party that was going to be happening in Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus and his disciples are making their way towards. And the reason I tell you all that is this, is that thousands and thousands and thousands of people would have been making their way towards the city of Jerusalem to celebrate and to go to this basically giant party. And so Jesus has drawn a huge crowd, probably bigger than normal, and they're all just following him from the north of Israel down into Jericho, and now they're about to make their way on this road, this path between Jericho and Jerusalem. And this is where we're going to pick up the story this morning. So it says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus and this huge entourage, they begin walking on this road, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they hear this guy, it says a blind man named Bartimaeus, and he starts shouting, Jesus, yo, Jesus, over here, yo, have mercy on me, Jesus. And what we need to recognize first and foremost is that Bartimaeus is blind. And in those days, if you were blind, it was not good for you. Like for Bartimaeus, he's probably been blind his entire life, and he has been relegated to begging for food and to stay alive his entire life. Not only that, but blind people in that day, it wasn't like they had all kinds of programs for special needs like they have now. If you were blind, you were looked at like riffraff. Because what was believed at that time was that your sin or somebody else's sin, maybe your parents' sin, was the cause of that affliction. That if you had some kind of disease, if you had some kind of ailment, it must have been because you did something wrong. And so they were not looked upon favorably at all. The other thing that I want us to recognize about this moment is that Bartimaeus knew where to put himself. Because he understood that if he went into Jericho, into the city itself, that it was just chaos in there. There were just people everywhere. And there was no way he was going to be able to get Jesus' attention inside the city. And so what did he do? He put himself on the path between Jericho and Jerusalem. He put himself right on the path where he knew Jesus would be walking. And that's significant. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. But in this moment, he begins to yell. He begins to scream to get Jesus' attention. And the people who Jesus is with, they don't like that very much. Because they're looking at Bartimaeus, again, like he's riffraff. You shouldn't be yelling out to this prophet, this teacher, this rabbi, Jesus, who is to be respected and esteemed. Shut your mouth. And this is what happens next. It says, many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And so the people are like, dude, shut up. We got a party to get to. Don't you understand that we got bigger business to attend to? Jesus doesn't have time for you. And I love what Bartimaeus does here in this moment. It says he shouts all the more. And what did he shout? He shouted, son of David, have mercy on me. You see, what Bartimaeus recognizes in this moment is that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He calls him Son of David, which is a reference to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant prophecy, right? That Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come from the line of David. And so when he calls him Son of David, this isn't just some random term or phrase that he's calling him. No, this is a specific reference to his deity, that he believes he is the Son of God, the Messiah. And so he calls out Son of David. He admits that Jesus is the Messiah, and everybody else around him is like, dude, let's just move on. We don't need to be here. We want to get down this road as quickly as we possibly can and get to the party. But Jesus sees this moment differently. Jesus isn't annoyed like the rest of them. Jesus sees this as an opportunity to drop the mic, not just on Bartimaeus, but on everybody else who's listening, and I believe maybe on some of us today. So this is what Jesus says. He says he stopped and said, call him. Call him over. And so they called to the blind man. They said, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. You know, I always find it interesting here that Jesus doesn't go to Bartimaeus, but he actually asks Bartimaeus to come to him. And again, I don't think that's by chance. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's random. I think that Jesus knew that Bartimaeus had put himself in position to have an encounter with him. He knew that Jesus was going to be close, but he was asking him to take the final step. Okay, I'm here, Bartimaeus. I'm close, but I need you to take another step towards me. And so I love the enthusiasm of Bartimaeus here. What does he do? It says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. So he didn't just casually take off his cloak and set it to the side and then slowly get up and walk his way over to Jesus. No, it says that he threw it off. He threw it off in excitement, and it says he jumped to his feet and he came running probably to Jesus in his excitement. And when he gets there, he knows exactly what he wants to say to Jesus. So he gets there. Jesus looks at him and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus said, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see, Jesus, because for my entire life, I have been blind. I have been living in darkness. And if I could just see, if I could just see, I could stop sitting on the side of this road and begging. If I could just see, I wouldn't be looked down on anymore. If I could just see, everything about my life would get better. Jesus, I want to see. And so Jesus looks at him. He says, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And in an instant, it says that he was healed, that he was able to see for the very first time in his life. And I love what Bartimaeus's response to this is. You see, when he sees light for the first time, that wasn't the only thing that he was seeing. Yeah, he saw physical light for the very first time, but something else was opened. His spiritual life was opened, and he saw the light. What was the first thing that Bartimaeus saw when he opened his eyes? He saw Jesus Christ, the living God, standing before him. And what was his response? His response was to follow him. He didn't go back to sitting on the side of the road and begging. He didn't go back to the old life that he had always known. No, in that moment, he began to follow Jesus. He started to follow the light. He put himself on the path and he kept following the path. You see, I think there is so much that we can learn here from Jesus, from Bartimaeus in this moment about who Jesus is, about who God is, at the core of who he is. And it's this, that Jesus wants to illuminate our life. He doesn't just want to illuminate our physical life either. He wants to illuminate our spiritual life. When you study God's word, this is just abundantly clear over and over and over again. Jesus wants us to see, really see who he is. He wants us to see the truth, because here's what Jesus understands, that when we see him for who he really is, when we see the light, so to speak, it changes everything. And so the question this morning is this: what does Jesus want to illuminate? Because I think it might be different than what we think. See, I think in our minds, we immediately go to Jesus, I want you to illuminate the darkness from the perspective of, I don't want to be in darkness at all anymore. I want you to make everything light. I want you to make everything good. I want you to make everything perfect. And when that doesn't happen, and I believe this, that there's a lot of people who've walked away from their faith because that's what they thought Jesus promised them. That if you begin to follow him, that if you believe in God, that your life is going to be perfect, that everything is going to work out well for you. And that's just not the case. But I want to encourage you with this morning, that what Jesus offers and what he promises is actually better than anything that we could have imagined. And so number one, what does Jesus want to illuminate in your life? More than anything, above all, he wants to illuminate his presence. He wants to illuminate his presence. Why? Because when his presence is illuminated, when you recognize that he is there, it makes every situation, every circumstance that you could be going through better. In everything, he wants us to be aware of his presence, because it is in his presence that we find our greatest joy, that we find our greatest hope, that we find peace and contentment, that we find the encouragement that we need to get through whatever situation we are in. It is in his presence. You know, a couple days ago, I was up in Logan's room and we were playing some board games, and we decided we were going to play a new game. But we keep all of the games in the house up in the attic because we don't have enough room in our closets for everything, right? And so I said to Logan, hey, if you want to play a new game, why don't you go upstairs into the attic and grab one? And he looked at me with almost like terror in his eyes and said, I don't want to go up in the attic. It's dark up there. And if you go up into our attic, there's not the light switch at the bottom of the stairs. It doesn't work. I don't know why. We've lived there 6 years. We've never done anything about it. But there is a string attached to the light bulb, and it's about halfway up the stairs. And so in order to be able to see when you go up in the attic, you've got to go halfway up the stairs in the dark. And so I looked at Logan and I said, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of, man. Just open the door. There'll be a little bit of light there, and you can walk up the stairs and pull the string, and the light will come on. And he looked at me and he said, no, will you go with me? And so, of course, I said, yeah, I'll go with you. And so we began to walk up the stairs. I went up and I pulled on the light and it came on. But the thing that struck me about that moment was this, that alone, by himself, he was terrified. But the second I said, I will go with you, I will walk with you in the dark, his fear was gone. Why? Because he knew that he was safe. He knew that there was nothing that was going to happen to him if I was walking in the dark with him. The darkness didn't change. The environment didn't change. It was still dark walking up those stairs for the first half of walking up the stairs. What changed was presence. My presence. His dad's presence. And in the exact same way, this is what Jesus is looking at us and saying. When you are walking through something dark, the most powerful thing you can do is call on me and be reminded that I am there with you, walking with you through the dark. It might not change the fact that it's dark, but it absolutely changes everything. His presence changes everything. And I believe Bartimaeus recognized this. He recognized he was in the presence of Jesus, and that Jesus would open his eyes, that Jesus would provide some light for him. And today, if there's nothing else you hear from this message, this is the most important thing, because darkness is going to come in your life from one moment to the next. We don't know. We don't know when it's going to come. But when it does, be reminded that you are in his presence. He is in your presence. And when you're in his presence, there is nothing to fear. He wants to illuminate His presence. He wants to be the thing that we see. He wants to be the thing that we focus on. Not the darkness, not the shadows, not all of the things that could be, the what ifs. He wants us to focus on Him. Because when we focus on Him, it provides all of the things that we're looking for in the dark. But He doesn't want to just illuminate His presence. He also wants to illuminate your perspective. Your perspective. See, perspective is an incredibly powerful thing. It can cause us to look at something that doesn't move and doesn't change. And it can cause us to look at that in a very different way, depending on the angle, depending on how we're positioned. You know, a few months ago, I was driving on Route 79 north up towards my house from Cranberry, and I was looking at the sun, and it was kind of off to my left a little bit, and it was one of those sunsets where the sun just looks massive. I mean, it looks so huge. And as I continued to travel north, 2 or 3 minutes later, I looked up again, and the sun was actually right smack in front of me, and it wasn't nearly as big anymore. It had shrunk to a much smaller size. And then by the time I got home and I pulled into my driveway and I looked again, it had shifted again. Now it was to my right and it was a little bit bigger than it was before, but it was still smaller than when I first saw it. And this is the thing about perspective. You see, the sun doesn't change. The sun is where it is. It is the size that it is. Nothing about it changes. What changes? My position changes. Where I was on the road changed. The fact that the sun moved was not because the sun moved, it was because I moved. My perspective, my viewpoint of the sun changed. And in the exact same way, Jesus is calling us, He's beckoning us to have the right perspective, to have a perspective of Him, the one who does not change. You see, if it seems like Jesus is changing, if it feels like He's not there anymore, it's because we have moved. We have moved away from the light. We have changed. We have shifted ourselves into a different perspective. He hasn't changed. And so maybe you found yourself asking this question before. Jesus, why? Why do you allow me to go through this? Jesus, where? Where are you in the midst of this darkness? But here's what I want to challenge you to do. Here's the perspective shift, the perspective change that I want to encourage you to take this morning. Stop asking why. Stop asking where. Believe that His presence is with you and start asking what. And this will change everything. Instead of asking Jesus, why are you doing this? Jesus, where are you? Start asking, what do you want to teach me through this? Jesus, why are you allowing me to go through this? Jesus, what do you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow? Because this is the truth this morning, that the more you ask that question, what do you want to teach me? The more He will reveal Himself. The more He will show you exactly what He's trying to teach you. Because at the end of the day, this is what Jesus wants for you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to become more like Him. He wants to build His trust, or your trust, in Him. And sometimes that only happens in the dark, through the darkness. I am sure that Bartimaeus asked that question so many times in his life. God, why? Why have you allowed this to happen in my life? But it was when Jesus opened his eyes, and only when Jesus opened his eyes, when he finally saw for the first time Jesus standing in front of him, his whole perspective changed. Right? All of a sudden, it was like, wow, this man just made me see. He has the power to make me see. He is with me now. And now I am going to follow Him, and I'm going to learn hopefully more, and I'm going to grow more. Perspective changes everything. He wants to illuminate His presence. He wants to illuminate your perspective. And third, He wants to illuminate His promises. He wants to illuminate His promises. He wants us to focus on the promises for our future and stop focusing on the current situation, the current circumstance that we're going through right now. I want to give you some encouraging verses from God's word right now about the promises of God First off, John 16:33. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He says, in this world you will have trouble. He doesn't mince words here. He doesn't pull punches. He directly tells us, you're going to have challenges. You are going to have struggles. Don't believe somebody who says that you're not. But in this world, take heart. Be encouraged. I have already overcome the world. All of the challenges that you are going to face in your life, I have overcome them. How did he overcome them? He overcame them through the cross. Next week is Easter. We're going to talk about what Jesus did on the cross. But just as a precursor, this is how Jesus conquers death. This is how Jesus conquered darkness. He went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that one day there would be no more darkness. And that is the promise that we have. That one day there will be no more darkness. That even though you may walk through darkness for a time, that it will end. And he also promises us in Isaiah 41:10. I love this verse. He says, even though you may be walking through the dark, do not fear. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. He says, I am with you. That is the promise that he makes to us. And I think for a lot of us, here's the problem. Here's the challenge that we face. He promises to be with us, but we're not always with him. Right? Back to the whole perspective thing. He promises that he's with us. We know that. This is what he promises us in his word. If you're a Jesus follower and you believe that, then he's with us all the time, right now, through every situation that we're going through. And so if we do not feel his presence, it is not because he has left us. It is because we have moved. We have moved. And so he promises us. He reminds us. Number one, I have overcome the world. And number two, I am with you through everything that you go through. I would rather, and I don't know about you, but this is where I'm at in my life. I would rather walk in the dark with Jesus than walk in the light without him. I want his presence to be illuminated in my life. I want his promises to remind me daily of who he is. And I would rather be in his presence and have those promises for the future than be walking alone without him. Because here's the challenge, I think, for so many people. There are a lot of people who are walking in the dark and they don't even know it. They don't know it. And what I want is I would rather know that I'm in the dark, but know that Jesus is with me. That he walks with me through everything that I go through. Because in him is where true peace and contentment and joy and satisfaction are really found. But then finally, he wants to illuminate your path. He wants to illuminate his presence. He wants to illuminate your perspective. He wants to illuminate his promises. And he wants to illuminate your path. Your path. Last year, there was a guy by the name of Eliud Kipchoge. He's a Kenyan-born marathoner. He's the best marathoner in the world. And for several years, they've been trying to break the two-hour barrier in the marathon. So a guy running under 2 hours in the marathon, which is about 4:33 per mile, which is insane because most people on the planet can't run 1 mile at that pace. And so what they did was they set up this perfect conditions to attempt to break this two-hour barrier. He had the best equipment. He had pace setters that would run along with him. And the thing that was the coolest to me was they set up this car in front of him with this big screen and then these lasers that shot down on the ground. And this set of lasers created basically a grid on the ground. And what they told him was this, Eliud, we need you to stay inside the grid at all times. Wherever that grid moves, you need to stay inside of it because here's what's going to happen. As that grid moves, it's going to actually take you on the shortest distance, the shortest path. It's going to help you run the tangent when you're making turns, right? It's going to get you to the finish line the fastest. Stay on the path. In other words, follow the light. Eliud, we need you to follow the light, because in following the light, you are going to get your best results. You know, Bartimaeus, we're coming back to this now. Bartimaeus put himself on the path, didn't he? He didn't go into Jericho where the masses were. He put himself on the path that he knew Jesus was going to be walking. And then when Jesus showed him the light, when he revealed himself, when he showed up, Bartimaeus kept following the path. He kept following the light. I think about walking through the woods in the dark, two or three people, and only one of them has a flashlight. The person who's got the light, they're the ones who are able to shine and show where that path needs to go, aren't they? And if the person who's shining the light doesn't shine that light in a way that everyone can see, that everyone behind them, they're in danger of tripping and falling. And so when I'm walking with people who don't have a flashlight and it's dark, I hold that flashlight down to my side. And I illuminate not only my path, but I illuminate the path of the people behind me as well. And here's the thing I need you to hear. Again, so often, here's what happens to us. We move off the path. Jesus is trying to show us the light. He's trying to show us exactly which way to go. He's provided and promised to be that light. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness. But you have to walk with him. You have to put yourself on the path, and you have to continue to follow it. I love what Proverbs 3:6 says. It says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths what? Straight. He will make your path straight, not crooked, not divergent. He will make your path straight, and he will get you through the darkness. And again, if you hear nothing else today, hear that. That no matter what darkness you are going through, if you put yourself on his path, if you follow his light, he will get you through the dark. And so maybe you've found yourself saying, all I see is darkness. All I see right now is this dark situation that I'm in. All I see is my financial crisis. All I see is my health crisis. All I see is this virus crisis that's going on around me. My circumstances are dark, and I just want this to end. And I've been there so many times. Jesus, I just want this to end. I want this to be over. And the more I think like that, the more that is my focus, oftentimes, the more miserable I become, the more depressed I become, the less joy I have, the less contentment I have, the more fear, the more anxiety I have when I focus on the dark. But when I focus on what he wants to illuminate in my life, it changes everything. And so here's the challenge. Let's recap this. Jesus wants to illuminate some things in your life. First and foremost, he says this, that he wants to illuminate his presence. I want to illuminate your presence. And what that means is that I will always be with you. I will always be with you. He wants to illuminate his presence. He wants to illuminate your perspective. His perspective is always better. That's what we need to be reminded of today. His perspective is always better. His presence is always with you. His perspective is always better. It's better than our perspective. He sees things that we can't see. His light reaches things that our light cannot reach. His presence is always with you. His perspective is always better. And his promises are always true. Cling to those promises in those moments that feel dark. Cling to them. Run to them. Call out to him and help him, ask him to remind you of those promises and stay fixated on those. And then finally, his path is always straight. His path is always straight. Never forget that. That if you will follow him, if you will follow his light in the way that Bartimaeus followed him on that road to Jerusalem, and who knows where he went after that, beyond that, follow his path. Follow his light, and you can never go wrong. My hope and my prayer for us today as a church and for anybody who might be listening is this, that your perspective might be changed today on your dark situation, and that you might receive the hope and the encouragement in the dark that you've been searching for. And even if right now everything is good and everything is fine and you're not going through any type of dark situation, one day it will come. And my hope and prayer is that you will be reminded of this. So that's it, guys. That's the message. I pray every day for each and every one of you that God is bringing you the peace and contentment through all of this stuff that we're going through. I pray each day that you are learning whatever it is that God is wanting you to learn. And I long for the day, I look forward to the day when we're going to be able to be together once again. Can't wait for Easter next week. So excited to share that message with you. Looking forward to seeing you all online. But right now, let's go ahead and pray and let's close out this moment. Father God, we love you. We thank you that you are our hope in the dark. Jesus, we thank you that you have provided us with your presence. We thank you that you have provided us with perspective to see the truth and the reality of our situation, that it is better than our perspective. We thank you for the promises that you have given us, that they will always be true, that you always come through on your promises. And we thank you for lighting our path, for providing us with a way to get through the darkness. You don't promise to take it away, but you do promise to get us through it. And so I pray that somebody today would be changed by that, be reminded by that. I pray right now that if there's anyone who does not know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, that they would reach out to us, that they would have the courage to say, I want to know, I want to have a relationship. We thank you and we praise you that we get to have a relationship with you, that you lead us through dark times, that we don't have to go through this alone. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, thank you so much again for joining us here at True North Church Online. You guys have a great week.